Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. Now, John, one market aspect that we have talked a lot about, but I do want to hear your insights, deals with interest rates. The bond market continues to sell off. Maybe this decade-plus-long bull market, multiple-decade-long bull market for bonds, has come to an end. And when we look on the flip side of that, where yields have gone, just look at the 10-year. Well, actually, really anything. Across the board, we're sitting more around 2.7%. And this is not long ago that we were under 1% for pretty much all durations of bonds. Now, we have seen this environment where the market has repriced yields, and yields are drastically higher. They're not historically high by any means, but they are drastically higher than where they were in the last couple years. John, what's your takeaway from the market continuing to hike rates? It seems like faster than the Fed is.
Hey, Corey. Hey, Shad. Yeah, interest rates are spiking, you know, which is to say we're having a bond flash crash. So if you bought, 10-year treasuries a couple of years ago when they were yielding 0.75% or whatever, you have a massive capital loss right now in the safest safe haven asset. So a lot of people out there are kind of they're suffering badly without necessarily even understanding why they're suffering. I literally have a friend who looks at her monthly statements and she's saying, I lost another 12,000. How could that be? Because she's in all safe stuff, intermediate term bonds, things like that. But she's getting smacked. And, you know, generalize that across the entire economy. And you've got a lot of people who are losing serious money in the safe part of their investment portfolios. That's really bad. The wealth effect and the psychological impacts of all of that are pretty serious. And that's why people are talking about maybe a recession is coming after all. We're seeing a lot of signs that usually precede recessions. So this inflationary boom thing that we've got going on right now could be reversed out big time if you see stocks crash, which they're dropping again today, and interest rates spike to the point where the bond market is in a bear market. And then real estate start to plateau and maybe roll over. This is looking recessionary. So it's a big change from the last few years. And it's happened very quickly, maybe more quickly than market psychology has been able to keep up with.
Yeah, John, and when you think about what most traditional financial planners advise their clients, you know, there's the classic 60-40, 60% stocks, 40% bonds that a lot of people are in their retirement programs. And then as people age, they start adjusting up their weighting to the safe, quote unquote, bonds, because for 30 to 40 years, that was the case. You know, bonds only went up, and they went up slowly, but they went up over time. And so people could count on that for retirement. Now, a lot of people's retirement income, or if they're getting near retirement, they're looking at those monthly statements or quarterly statements. And a lot of people are shocked because they're not watching 2-year rates or 10-year rates or 30-year rates going up. And they don't realize that inverse correlation. They just know that their account value has gone down. And as you mentioned, that wealth effect, their feeling of being prosperous with their retirement has got a real kick in the pants lately. And so, do you think that's going to impact the way consumers spend in the marketplace? Do you think that when people start getting those financial statements in the mail and they realize that the bond market has started to tank over the last year or so, really, and it's probably going to continue to do so, do you think that that will affect the way they shop, the way they invest, and will it change anybody's underlying thesis and how they approach the markets?
Yeah, if it goes on much longer, it'll have a huge psychological impact on people's behavior. And that, combined with the fact that Americans, at least, they ran through their stimmy checks a while ago, and now they're maintaining their lifestyles by putting it all on plastic. So U.S. consumer credit is soaring right now at a record pace, which means, on the one hand, people are losing money in their investments. On the other hand, they're maxing out their credit cards to maintain their lifestyles. You put that together and you get the potential for a dramatic slowdown in consumer spending in the year ahead. And consumer spending is 70% of the economy. So it could be very easy for us to tip over from robust growth with a tight labor market to soaring interest rates into something that's almost a mirror image of those things. And it could happen very fast. We don't know what the number is on the 10-year treasury, for instance, but there is a number. for the yield on that bond, that would just crack the financial markets. And if we're at 2.78% right now, we're probably not that far from the number that breaks the market. But let this go on much longer, and the world could be a very different place than it is today.
Yeah, who knows what that number is going to be, right? There are people that said we couldn't even get to 2, let alone 2.5%, and looks like 3% is right around the corner. John, shouldn't this be impacting the housing market a bit more? I know we've seen some weaker data out of the housing market, but that's always one that higher interest rates can correlate pretty directly over to further squeezing the individual.
Well, yeah, it's affecting the housing market to an extent. All of a sudden, there's a lot more supply coming onto the market, and the asking price is starting to go back to being the point from which you negotiate down instead of the point from which you negotiate up. So housing is kind of normalizing. And the reason it's not just collapsing right now is that there was this huge shortage of inventory. There just weren't enough houses out there for the people who wanted to buy houses. So, you know, you can tighten the housing market up a little bit or tighten terms on loans and, you know, make it tougher to buy a house and still not see much effect at first. But if this goes on much longer, you'll see housing rollover because prices are at the very edge of affordability right now. And mortgage rates are going up. So if mortgage rates go from 2.5% where they were a year ago to 5% where they are today, that dramatically increases the cost of a house if you take out a 30-year mortgage to buy it. And that's what a lot of people are seeing right now. So it's completely possible that housing joins the list of things that are pointing in an inflationary instead of a boom direction in the year ahead. And I don't know what it's like in Canada. I know you guys have an even more extreme housing market than the U.S. in general. And ours is pretty extreme. So it could easily be that a year from now, we're talking about a housing bust rather than a housing boom. And that would just add to the psychological impact of all of the other stuff that we talked about on investors and savers and spenders. So it just could be a very different picture in the not too distant future.
Yeah, John, the wealth effect is how people feel about their retirement accounts, but also the value of their home. And if the value of their homes are going up, everybody's been rather gleeful, despite the weird geopolitical and pandemic backdrop that the world's been in. People are like, hey, at least our houses are going up. But when we see those turn around, when we see home prices start falling, that wealth effect, again, gets a real kick in the pants, just like their retirement accounts. So we're seeing the ravages of inflation start to also eat into the consumer's discretionary income. So whether it's the cost at the fuel pump, that's not all Russia and Ukraine. It's been going up for a year or two, way before the war started. And it's not all supply chain issues. There are some legitimate supply chains that are spiking certain sectors. But when you look across most goods and services, whether it's housing and, you know, rent, or whether it's medical services, it's college tuition, whether you're looking at the price of a movie ticket or you're looking at your grocery store, it doesn't matter what aisle you go down. Not all of it is because of Ukraine and Russian wheat. Almost every aisle of the grocery store has had double-digit price increases. And so when you see that combined with these stagflationary pressures, you mentioned a recession a year off. Do you think that there's any other indicators people can watch for to know whether that is going to play out, or what would you be looking for to see more of an all clear and see people, I guess, get back to more normal market conditions?
Well, besides interest rates and stock prices and house prices, there's also oil. And in U.S. dollars, oil touched $125 a barrel just lately, and now it's down to 94. So that's another indicator of slowing growth, lessening demand, and a potential recession out there. So if I had to rank the things to watch, I would say the 10-year treasury for sure, stock prices, and then the price of oil. Those are three indicators that are sensitive. They move around a lot, they're very volatile, and they're all heading in the direction of a slowdown in the not too distant future.
So, John, it sounds like you are very much in the camp that we are going to see a recession. We are going to see a pretty big market correction, maybe even a market crash. Is it going to be US focused, or is it going to spread to a number of other countries, maybe even the globe? Because quite frankly, everyone seems to be dealing with the same issues right now.
Yeah, well, let's keep this in context. This is normally what happens when the Fed starts to tighten. And they've done that again and again over the last couple of decades. Interest rates start to go up, mortgages go up, stocks get really choppy, you know, and then it all just falls apart when people start to panic and you get a crash, and then the Fed takes it all back and eases again. So it's not really that surprising that we're where we are right now. And the important thing is, will the Fed capitulate this time around the way it normally does? And the fact that inflation is much higher than it has been in those past cycles is kind of the wild card in all of this. Now, for the rest of the world, yeah, everybody's suffering from basically the same kind of forces. And for instance, food prices are through the roof. And it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better because of the shortage of fertilizer that's being created by the Russia-Ukraine war. And the way food prices work is what we eat now is the stuff that was planted last year. So next year's food prices will be affected by what happens now. And right now there's a huge shortage in the means of production in the agricultural sector. So it looks like we could have major food shortages with all that that implies for inflation here and civil unrest over there. And it could be, in other words, it could be a lot worse in a lot of the rest of the world because food is a much more crucial part of the budget of people in developing countries than it is here. You know, you can be very annoyed by higher prices at the grocery store, but not have it change your general life if you're in a developed country. But if you're in Brazil or Thailand or name any other 30 or 40 emerging markets, it's a serious political issue because if people can't afford to eat, drive to work, and pay their rent, and they have to choose which one of those things they're going to get rid of, frequently they'll hit the streets and you get regime change and yada, yada, you know, that whole Arab Spring kind of thing, but spread out all around the world this time. So it's definitely not just a U.S. thing, and it's definitely not just a developed world thing. This could be a global crisis with differing aspects of the crisis manifesting in different places. So the next year, if the food thing turns out to be the way a lot of people are afraid it's going to turn out, then the next year looks really chaotic from a geopolitical standpoint, as well as a financial standpoint, which makes it really hard to predict. Because it's one thing if inflation is trending in a certain direction and you can graph it out and you can see where it's going. It's another thing if civil unrest has caused the government to fall and we don't know who's going to take over after that. And then maybe there's going to be a civil war. And that's a whole different kind of situation and a much more serious one. And that could be the case in a lot of places in the world.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, John. In all fairness, we're always hearing about the potential of complete collapses, but this year already is showing people that when the Fed steps away or central banks broadly step away from the markets, well, we can see some pretty high volatility and a lot of losses, a lot of red on the screen, which some investors just are not quite prepared for and haven't really experienced all that much of. But then you carry it down to the economy. And yeah, we'll see just how slow the economy does go, because remember, the economy was stuck in slow growth before the pandemic, and then post-pandemic stuff started to pick up, but that reopen trade is now over, and now we're seeing what all that money printing can do, and also a war thrown in just for good measure, because hey, why not? 2022, it's a wild year already. John, thank you for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next or in the next couple of weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. You too. Thanks, Chad. See you.